fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and hope you're having a good start of a new day. I'm going to continue today to look at the unfolding drama in the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, the battle between Jesus and the religious leaders in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus is revealing who he is, and they're resisting who he is. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there, as our Sister Ann Shields' wonderful programs, Food for the Journey, our television programs, The Choices We Face, Crossing the Goal are there, and lots of very helpful, a lot of free material, articles we've written, booklets and things I think that will help you in your walk as you seek to follow Jesus and be more conformed to him as his disciple. But for now, I want to just pick up where I left off yesterday. And it was starting with verse 21, where the conflict begins to heat up. Jesus challenges the Pharisees, and he told them that he was going to go away. He's speaking in somewhat cryptic terms. They don't quite understand. What he's talking about is he knows he's going to have to go to Calvary. He's going to die. He's going to rise again and return to the Father. And he said, you will seek me, but you will die in your sin. And so he's really got their attention here. He's challenging the religious leaders, the supposed sinless ones, and he's telling them that unless they change, they're literally going to die in their sin. And what that means is eternal death. That means eternal separation from God. That's shocking. These are the religious leaders. These are the point people of the people of Israel. These are those who preside at the temple. They guard the law. They're the great teachers. And who's this guy, this wandering prophet? How dare he speak to them in that fashion? So they ask him, say, where are you going that we cannot come? And Jesus said, you are from below. I'm from above. You're from below and I'm from above. You mean when he's saying you're from the earth, I'm from heaven? But he means more than that. He goes on to say, I'm not of this world, but you're of this world. We've talked many times on the program over the years about a biblical understanding of the world, a fallen dimension of God's creation, beginning with the human heart, the dimension of the world that resists God, that says no to God, that says my will be done, not your will be done. They're both of this world, that is, they're both creatures on the earth, but they're also trapped in the world, in that resistance to God. And the human flesh, which Jesus said earlier, you judge by the flesh, the willfulness within the human heart. Me first. So the conniving of these powers is partly what leads us into slavery and is the source of the resistance to God, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus came to break the dominating power of the world, the flesh, and the devil over the human heart. And he says, I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. The religious leaders that keep the law at a certain level, right? That's what their whole life is about, teaching everybody the law, what they're supposed to do and not do. And Jesus is saying, unless you believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. And the Pharisees are thinking, what are you talking about? We're in the best shape of anybody. We teach this stuff every day. We know what the law is. And Jesus is really getting to the heart of the matter. He's actually challenging the religious leaders to repent. Repentance means acknowledging the true condition of your heart, the sin-sick condition of your heart, not hiding anything, but speaking the truth and allowing the words of Jesus to penetrate and receiving the mercy that comes from Jesus, the great physician, the surgeon who's come to give us a new heart. He's come to deal with the terminal illness that dominates humanity. And Jesus is appealing to them, really. He's saying, you resist me, you reject my words, and I'm going to tell you straight out. If you don't believe in me, there is no hope for you. If you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. What is hope? Hope is the victory over sin and death. That's the only hope that matters in all of human existence. Am I going to pass from death to life? Am I going to enter into the glorious life that I was made for from the beginning? Am I going to say yes to God to allow him through his son Jesus to raise me up out of this condition and to make me something entirely new that he alone can do? For you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. That's a word not just for the Pharisees, friends. That's a word for you, and it's a word for me. This is why the church is also missionary. She knows this is the truth. And human beings that were made for God cannot waltz around in this short time on earth, living as if God didn't exist, crafting and shaping our own life or our own gods, our own idols, whatever it is, and expect to get to heaven. These are Jesus' words. Unless you believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. Why does the Catholic Church want to bring the gospel to the whole world? Yes, Jesus commands it. But she's moved in her heart, having been saved herself, not out of the self-righteousness like the Pharisees, but real sinners who have been forgiven by God through belief in Jesus Christ, through repentance of sin and believing in Jesus Christ, and through baptism into Christ. He goes on. The Pharisees said, who are you? What a great question. Who are you? St. Francis used to ask that all the time in his prayer. He would regularly ask the Lord, Lord, who are you and who am I? You see, the problem is we've got that all screwed up. We don't know God. We don't even know ourselves. But if we don't know God, we can't know ourselves. And so we're sold identities constantly in this world because we're so susceptible to, because we don't know who we are. And so we all kind of put on an identity that the world says is cool, or the world says is respectable, or whatever. And it's because we can't answer the question, who are you? Who are you? Who is God? Who are you? Jesus said to them, even what I have told you from the beginning, I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. Here's Jesus' mission. I declare to the world. I declare to the world what I've received from the Father. Jesus is on a mission. He's sent. And he's not mainly worried about himself. What a contrast Jesus is to the present world. Just watching the coming through the election process, you know, this past year. And it's just so many people. I mean, it seems like the country is gripped by narcissism. Me, 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 myself, asserting myself, my country, my ideas, my definition of reality. Me, me, my, my. It's a sad thing to see. And it's darkness. It's foolishness. It's stupidity. It's degrading. It's pathetic to see how self-centered, how completely focused on ourselves that we've become. The whole point of life is my self-expression. Doesn't matter how outrageous it is, I must assert myself. I must assert my will, my identity, my values, my truth, and everybody must applaud me. That's darkness. That's foolishness. Jesus is the light. He shows us how to live. Jesus came as one who was sent. And what does he have his heart on? What is his heart really directed toward? I declare to the world what I have heard from him. from God my Father. That's what he's come to do, to declare everything the Father has told him. And went on to say, they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak thus as the Father taught me. There's so much in that response by Jesus. When you have lifted up the Son of Man. They don't know what he's talking about, but he's saying this so they remember. First, he's calling himself the Son of Man. That's a phrase that's used in the Old Testament. He's beginning to make real public claim that he's the one. He's the Messiah. He's the one sent by God. He and the Father are one, is what he'll say, and really ruin their day. I do nothing on my own authority. Friends, what Jesus is teaching you and me through all this is he's talking to us about not only what the Father's plan is for salvation in Christ, but he's talking to you about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow him. A disciple is someone who wants to declare to the whole world, according to the gifting and the calling that we have, everything that Jesus has taught us. Because we know it's life, it's eternal life. It's the only source of hope for people. So that same determination and awareness of being sent that's in Jesus, he wants to pass on to you and me. So Pope Francis in his document Evangelii Gaudium said very clearly, every single baptized person can say, should say, ought to say, I am a mission in this world. I was made for mission. This is what it is. Just as Jesus was sent on a mission, he sends those who say they are his followers, he sends them on mission. And he says very plainly, okay, what does that look like? Well, what it looks like is I don't do anything on my own authority. I go forward in my life in the authority of Christ. I do what he tells me to do. I do it as a part of his church. I do it in right order in his church. I do it as a body of people who've been sent by God into the world with the promise that he would be with us always to communicate what's on his heart and his mind. He said, I do all that the Father has taught me. And so we ought to say, we ought to know and feel and will in our hearts say, I do everything Jesus has taught me. Verse 29, it'll be our final verse today. And he says, and he who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do what is pleasing to him. As he spoke thus, many believed in him. So here's a simple summary of the heart and the life of a disciple. I do what pleases him. The world says, please yourself. We're going to help you live a pleasurable life for yourself. We're going to give you everything you need so you can live a life of pleasure, seeking to please yourself first. And Jesus said, not my disciples. They live to please me. Their friends is a great reflection for us over this weekend, especially as you enter the Lord's Day. God bless you. Hope you can tune in next week.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.